It's more than just another radio show. It's a beacon of truth. Fasten your seatbelt and find out why they call Deacon Harold Burke Sivers the Dynamic Deacon. Join Deacon Harold for a fast-paced hour that sheds encouraging light on today's culture. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And I know we're, boy, I can't believe just a week away from Thanksgiving. It's just, again, I've said this before, just amazing to me how fast the time goes, how fast this month has gone, how fast this year has gone. You know, and so again, it's time to start thinking about gathering together as family, as we continue to work together, focused on the Eucharist as the heart and the center of our lives, to build up the body of Christ. And today, not only do I have an amazing guest, my good friend Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. Today, we're doing the show on the Feast of Saint Cecilia. So if that name sounds familiar, well, she's one of the saints listed in the Roman canon or Eucharistic prayer number one, or some people say the long one. So she was Saint Cecilia was a girl, a Roman girl of a patrician family. She was brought up as a Christian, and she wished to remain a virgin for her life, to dedicate her life to God, but her father wanted her to be married. And so when the wedding day came, Cecilia started just praying the Psalms and just, you know, opening her heart to God. And after the ceremony, when the guests has departed, she was alone with her husband. She made her desire known to him that she wanted to remain a virgin and dedicate her life to God. The saying that she already had, she was already married to God. and obviously he wasn't happy about that. She said, you know, he asked for some kind of sign, you know, to show that this was actually true. And she said, if you believe in the one true and living God and receive the water of baptism, then you shall see. And so he said, okay. And following his wife's direction, he sought out a bishop and he made a profession of faith. He was baptized. And when the husband returned, he saw an angel with flaming wings standing beside Cecilia. That's pretty awesome, pretty incredible. But we celebrate her today because she's a martyr. You know, we did a show previously about you know, young people that are on their way to sainthood, or young people that are young people today, young adults, high schools can look up to. And Saint Cecilia is definitely much, very much on that list. She possessed a beautiful heart of a child, complete faith and trust in God's mercy. And she possessed virtues that we can imitate in our own lives. She knew the gospel very well. You know, the children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. So she longed for the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. And through the sacraments, of course, most especially the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the precious gift of God's body, blood, soul, and divinity, God establishes a covenant of intimacy and love with us, right? And there are some saints who feel so deeply connected to the Lord that they want to dedicate their whole life just to Him. That's, we have monks and nuns, and it's just incredibly beautiful. So let's remember her today, this wonderful martyr, this beautiful saint, who again, who our young people can look up to. And so instead of looking trying to get inspiration from people, social media influencers, right? So instead of looking at somebody on TikTok or Snapchat or Instagram, you know, there are amazing saints that our young people can look up to, emulate, and you know, that can serve as role models in their own lives, especially how to stand up to the culture today, right? The culture that's trying to separate them from intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion with God. Right, so beautiful inspiration today. So when you if you go to mass and you see the priest wearing red today, that's why. Beautiful martyr Saint Cecilia. All right. Well, one of the reasons why I love doing this show is because we have a great team that you never see, but they work behind the scenes every single day to bring you this awesome show, Beacon of Truth. And those include our call screener, Matt Gabinski, and our social media expert, Charles Beery, and our producer, the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, Ace McKay.
The title gets
Ace, how you
longer
doing, my
and
friend?
longer every day. It's like,
I know.
let me show you my business card. You know, just, you know, I have to say, I love as we talk about the changing of the colors. It's one of my favorite two things. It's my favorite, especially when you go like, you know, one Sunday it's, you know, one decoration, and then when it changes, you come in and it just like it just brightens your eyes because you're like, all right, we're in a new season, right? But being present at one of the ceremonies as they changed the colors was probably one of the most peaceful moments. Like just know, you know, because again, we all go through season changes, right? And we're like, I don't like change. I like it like it is, or I like this color over the, you know. But again, they all represent the different levels of our faith. And just, you know, and again, as a visual person, just the vibrancy during mass, during a service, when you're taking communion, to look up and, you know, the dressings are whatever based on the, you know, season you're in, it helps you to reflect, especially as we get closer to Advent, right?
Oh no, it's exactly right. And that's, see, that's what I love. One of the things about our faith, you know, it's we have bodies, and you know, the body expresses the person. And so we use things that engage our senses in the worship of God. So color, you know, the different colors, just like you said, the changing the seasons has, you know, they have their fall colors and spring colors and things like that. We have different colors in the church, vestments that we use at mass, marking certain times of the year. We're emphasizing different things in the church. You know, we have incense, you know, the smell, you know, there's a very tactile nature to the sacraments and to worship, right? The music, we hear the music, our hearts are lifted, our voices cry out in honor and praise to God. You know, so I love the fact that we use our bodies, you know, that all of our senses are engaged, sight, you know, everything. And so, but again, all for the honor and the worship and the glory of God, not for ourselves, but for the Lord. So I love that.
Well, and I'm also of the mindset, especially as a worship leader, of not waiting till the season changes to start reflecting on the music of the season, right? So as certain hymns match up, or as in our service, we try to do a little bit of contemporary where it fits. So like if it's a meditative moment and it matches with the liturgy, we'll do kind of a stripped down version of a contemporary song that people might already know. But in that, listening to those songs either prior to going to mass in that season or prior to that season starting, it helps to even more so, like, man, I'm really in a good headspace for Lent, for Advent, for, you know, whatever it is. And again, then we're not just coming, well, I got nothing out of mass today. Well, what did you do to prepare before you walked in?
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, we prepare for everything else. If you go on a vacation, you prepare, you get your flight, you get your checklist,
You don't leave the
you
house
get, you know,
without the
all these
charger,
things
right?
together.
You know, it's like
Yeah, that's
you got to
right.
be
That's
charged
right.
up.
That's right. Amen. Amen. And in fact, one of the most, I think most forgotten item when people stay in hotels are the chargers. People forget that. So, but we have to be charged and ready in our faith as well. Totally agree with you on that.
Amen.
And so we should take the time to prepare. We're prepared for Thanksgiving, right? Everybody's got the checklist working and invites, and make sure you have all the foods that, traditional Thanksgiving fare,
Because
you
if I
know,
forget the
and
cranberry sauce, my dad is leaving. He's going to somebody else's house.
that's awesome. Well, this is Beacon of Truth. So great that you're with us. It's Deacon Howard Burke-Simmons. Again, we have a wonderful guest coming on today, Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. We're going to talk all about the Sacred Heart of Jesus today. If you want to be with us, send us an email. Love to hear from you. Beacon@EWTN.com. Yeah, I love that. Kind of that grungy STP kind of feel.
Yeah. Do you ever pull the guitar out at Thanksgiving? Like when family comes over, they're like, hey, let's jam.
Oh, yeah. Right. We usually have a sing-along. Well, we used to have a piano in the living room, but when, we used to have it in the living room, then we moved it over when my mom died, and we moved the girls, the older girls, over into the mother-in-law suite. We moved the piano over there as well to make some more room in house. But yeah, sometimes we'll have sing-alongs and stuff.
It's always a great post-meal, right? Burn those calories with some kind of a jam session.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Oh, like I said, everybody in my family sings and plays an instrument. So,
that's right.
So it's always good fun. And my brother-in-law is also a professional pianist. So that's what he does for a living.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's always always fun and music in our house during the Thanksgiving and Christmas time.
Love
so
it.
It's awesome. All right. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today we have a wonderful guest, Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. We're going to talk all about the Sacred Heart and would love for you to be with us today. Just send us an email, beacon@EWTN.com.
Of course, we do celebrate the holidays, don't forget, follow us on social media. If you're on X, just search EWTN Radio so you can keep up with trends and what we're talking about, especially in the midst of the holidays, because then you're aware of how you can celebrate and deepen your walk with God. But find us, just EWTN Radio when you are on X.
All right. Well, no matter what time of year it is, when you hear that music, it is time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we break open God's Word in the Psalms, the prayer hymnal of both our Jewish brothers and sisters and for us as Catholics, because we hear the Psalms in every holy sacrifice of the Mass. And today we're going to finish our look at Psalm 20. So Psalm 20 is in Book 1. Of the Psalms, Psalms 1 through 41, all written by David. And so we started to look at this psalm. I'm just going to finish it off. The first verse is the prescript. It's very simple. For the choir master, a psalm of David. All right, so David wrote the psalm and then gave it to the choir master to put music to. Again, some psalms, David wrote the psalm and did the music himself, and sometimes he gave it to the choir master, the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. And so this is a song of trusting in God, right? And so we looked at the first seven verses. So we're just going to look at the last couple of verses, verses 8 through 10. So David writes, "Some put their trust in chariots or horses, but we in the name of the Lord our God." Right? So where are we putting our trust? Are we trusting in the things of the world? Again, David uses chariots and horses. Why? He was a soldier. He was a warrior. Right? Some put their trust in chariots and horses, the things of the world, but we in the name of the Lord. And that was something that would mark his reign as king, continually trusting in the love of God and in the will of God. And it says, they will collapse and fall, but we shall rise up and hold firm. So trusting in the things of the world, eventually they're going to go away, right? They're not going to last. But we're looking at a love and a relationship with Lord that will last forever, right? And that's what David's reminding us. The things of the world are going to go away. They're passing. They're transient. But our love of God is everlasting. And then finally, verse 10, grant salvation to the king, O Lord. Give answer on the day we call. Right? So David's confidence again. If we're faithful to the Lord, if we follow in his ways, walking in his love, his truth, following his commandments, his ordinances, his laws, both the laws that are written in our hearts, the natural moral law, and the law that's given to us by the church, then we shall stand strong and firm, even though everything else is falling apart around us. We shall stand firm and strong in our faith in Jesus Christ. All right, beautiful. So today I'm going to introduce you to a good friend of mine, a wonderful, wonderful man of God. We've been friends for a number of years now, and we even got a chance to speak together a couple of times. And so I'm going to introduce you to my good friend, Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. He is ordained as a deacon in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. He was ordained back in 2017. He has a well-educated, he knows his stuff. He has a BA in theology from Christendom College. We know it's a fantastic Catholic institution. And he has his master's degree in theology from the Catholic Distance University. And so I'd like to introduce you to my good friend, Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. Deacon, welcome to Beacon of Truth. It's great to be with you, my friend.
Yes, you too, you too. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time. And it was
Yeah, it
great
is.
speaking with
All right.
you.
Yes. So, all right. All right. So we've been friends for a while, but there's people that are watching on YouTube and listening right now who don't know you. So if you could just share a little bit about your background, maybe your walk in faith, how you discerned a call to the diaconate, just so when we talk about the Sacred Heart, people feel connected to you.
Yes. Well, with the Sacred Heart, my love for people, as well as seeing their suffering, that's what got me to be a deacon. I mean, a lot of it, I've had a lot of tough times in life. I've almost died three times, but from each of them, God gave me inspiration to be able to see what was going on. So I remember one time, and it's kind of for my diaconate journey, I had got an illness and I was pretty upset about it. And the nurse, she brought me to this kind of this intensive care for kids section of the hospital. And I was going up there and I was like, dear Lord, you know, this isn't fair. Most people, you know, they just throw away their health and mine's taken from me. This isn't right. And then I saw these little kids. They were happy. They were playing. And I'm like, and they had terminal cancer. And so when I saw them, I said, dear Lord, I want to be like you say, like a child, like they say in scripture. And when I made that prayer, my heart just softened. And I think that was the Sacred Heart talking to me. So then I kept growing up more and more and more. And I would see some of the suffering that was going on in life. So I said to the Lord, I was down in Cascia, actually, in Italy. I was visiting Saint Rita because she had did a big favor for me. And they were on, basically, my train got in late. And I was like, Mama Mary, dear Lord, I don't know Italian. I don't know how I'm going to get up this mountain. Then out of nowhere, this woman who spoke perfect English comes up and says, do you need a ride up the mountain? And she drove me up to the shrine. They also have a Eucharistic miracle there. And I prayed and I was so touched. I said, dear Lord, you've done so much for me. You're so good. What can I do for you? And then that's why I heard the call as a deacon. So I looked for ways to serve. And then I ended up serving at beginning of life, the middle of life, and then also the end of life. The beginning of life, I have an apostolate for families, especially mothers that have miscarriages. My first funeral as a deacon was burying my niece because my sister had lost her child. So I have an apostolate called A Mom's Peace where I've buried and brought comfort to over 150 babies and families since the beginning of life. Then in the middle of life, because it's good to serve the Lord, you want to be able to just, I have the Legion of Mary and then the Mother of Light. We help the poor. And then at the end, we help people to die with dignity. And that's called the Divine Mercy House.
Wow. Beautiful. Wow. What a great story. And people know that you're a deacon, but what's unique about you is that you're single. You've never been married. So you're a permanent deacon. Right. That's
yes.
It.
Yes.
Now, people think, oh, he's married and his wife. And how come we didn't talk about his wife? You know, right? But here's the thing. So I know people are going to ask this. So you discern this call. Why not the priesthood if you're single? I get it because I'm a deacon. But I just so that people understand your decision. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so yeah, this is the thing, and I do get that question a lot. Basically, you have to remember that the bishop, he has two arms when he's guiding his diocese. There's the arm of blessing, which is the priest, because they say mass and then they hear confessions, which is very important. They bring Jesus to us here on earth. But then they also, he has an arm of charity. And the arm of charity often is the arm that leads people into the church. Because if you come up to somebody and you think they don't care about you, you're going to not want to connect with them. So when we as deacons, we go out and we're doing that charity to kind of let the walls down. Like when I tell people in the Mother of Light Center, because we help the poor, it's hard to hear the gospel over the rumblings of your stomach, right? So when I felt that, when I felt the call, I said, yeah, you know, I think God is calling me to be this arm of service. And that's where I find my joy. It's not, you know, that necessarily even being single, it's not that I hate women or I think women are disgusting or anything like that, but a sacrifice is measured by how much you're giving. And to have a wonderful wife, that was a great sacrifice. It is a complete laying of my life down for the God who's loved me and the God whom I wish to love. So I said, dear Lord, I want to listen to your call. But at first, because I'm a young deacon, a young permanent deacon too, I was like, ah, dear Lord, could you wait about 15 years? You know. Yeah. But when the Lord calls, we have to answer. And when we answer, especially St. Francis de Sales, he talks about devotion. He says, in order to have devotion, we answer promptly, quickly, and also in the way that God asks of us. That's a complete gift of self. And I said, okay, dear Lord, if you want me solely for yourself, let me say amen, because only in that will I find my happiness. And as you can kind of tell, I like to laugh. I'm a happy person. So I was like, okay, dear Lord. And it's been a great ride. I mean, it's been absolutely wonderful. 7 years of joy and happiness, as some of the songs used to say.
Yeah.
Love and happiness.
Right. That's right. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you're doing great work. I mean, I read and reviewed your book.
Thank you.
The Deacon and the Doctor. And like I said, we've spoken together. So, and you have a beautiful, one of the most beautiful heartfelt devotions to the Blessed Mother of anyone that I know. So awesome.
Yes.
All right, we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. We're talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus today. You want to be with us? Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yes, I just got this. Lay back and just lay down the rhythm and just go with it.
Sometimes it's all about the pedal, right? You just get the setting, like, ooh, look, listen to this. And then you just like, oh, if I can do that, I could do this too, you know, and you couple all the things together.
Yeah. That's fun. You see, somebody just got to have fun with the music, you know?
That's it.
Oh, yeah, man, I love it. All right, well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. So great to be with you today on this Feast of St. Cecilia, a beautiful young martyr of the church. And today we have a great guest, Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony, good friend of mine, Deacon of Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. We're talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Divine Mercy. Want to be with us today? Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Don't forget, of course, EWTN Radio Extra is giving you the extras that you need as we head into the next season. Of course, Mother Angelica, Dr. Scott Hahn, lots of great podcasts available, easy to find. And of course, you can easily download our app, or you can just go to EWTN.com and click on Extra, but it's always easy with the mobile side of things. Find your favorite shows and continue to listen throughout the holiday season with EWTN Radio.
All right. Well, we're going to continue to talk with my very good friend, Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. We heard a little bit about his background, his vocation story. Deacon Anthony works for, he's a deacon in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. But we've known each other because we worked together through Sophia Press Institute for Teachers. He talked about his wonderful apostolates, the Mom's Peace, which helps those who have experienced miscarriage. And it's an amazing book that he co-authored called The Deacon and the Doctor, you know, helping people through this loss. And he also has the Mother of Light Center, which helps the poor and the less fortunate, and the Legion of Mary. And he does work with people toward the end of life as well. So if you want to learn more about Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony and the great work that he's doing, the website is JMJ Gerard Marie, all one word, JMJGerardMarie.com. Well, it's great to be with you, my friend.
Oh, yes, you too. You too.
Love
yes.
Having you here. Love having you here. So the Sacred Heart of Jesus, So first of all, tell us what is the sacred. I mean, we know what this people know what the Sacred Heart, but what is this idea of a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and why should that be important for us as Catholics?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Just from hearing that music from the intro, it's like, yeah, we got to give a hymn of thanksgiving, like in honor of Saint Cecilia. With that, I mean, that's like with the Sacred Heart devotion, what's really going on is you're seeing the meeting of two hearts in love. The heart of God and the heart of man, and they come together in the heart of Christ. As John Paul II would say, says Jesus, the human face of God and the divine face of man. But he doesn't just stop at the face with the gaze. He also wants to unite our hearts. And this is where this devotion comes in. God says to us, I'm not distant. I'm with you every step of the way. Every beat of your heart, I'm meant to be with you. And a lot of times I think the reason that this devotion is so important is because our world is looking not just for thoughts, love, inspiration, but they're looking to know that someone is with them every step of the way. And this is where that devotion to the Sacred Heart, where I think our Lord revealed it to St. Margaret Mary, said, I am with you every step of the way. If you see the image, you have all access to my heart, because he's opening his heart and you can see it revealed. It's not a wall where much of mankind thinks of. It's like, no, God is giving us everything and giving us his son. So the devotion, I would say, just kind of in a nutshell, is letting us know that God wants to be with us. He is the Emmanuel. And when our hearts can beat with his, the two become one. That's where we find the peace and joy that we were all made for.
All right, beautiful. And often, Deacon, there's a connection Well, it's almost like a trinity, right? We have the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we have our hearts uniting with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, right? Because
Yes.
so they talk about the two hearts, right?
Yes,
So,
yes, yes.
so to talk about that relationship, because it's familial, it's a family, you know, and the
Yes.
hearts of the family. Right, it's Thanksgiving's coming up, right? So we talk about the hearts coming together, family coming together. So to kind of weave in that beautiful Immaculate or Sacred Heart of Mary, Immaculate Heart of Mary as well.
Yes, I mean, so this is the thing. If you realize, okay, God is with us. The Father sends the Son to inspire us, literally means to have the Spirit within us, to be filled with His love. So there's the Trinity. God is sending that. They're with us. But then also, the Father says, no, we are a family. I'm going to send you a mother too. And our Blessed Mother, who is Jesus's mother as the head, also is the mother of us as the mystical body. It's not a decapitated Christ. It's the whole body that she mothers. And she also has a heart. So she gives us the tenderness of a mother. And oftentimes we can see mothers, they kind of mother in two ways. One, with gentleness and compassion to kind of get us to move towards what we're supposed to be doing. It's like, you know, your mom comes and taps you on the shoulder and like, okay, honey, it's time to get up. No, I want to sleep, right? Sometimes in our world today, we just want to kind of sleep, you know, pull the covers over our head and say, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it. But our Blessed Mother, Mama Mary says, no, look, don't be afraid. It's time to get out of bed. It's time to get to work, build the kingdom of God. But then also a mother, they like to gather the family. They're the ones like, okay, yeah, you know, we haven't seen your brothers and sisters in a while. We got to get together. So our Blessed Mother comes out and says, okay, look, I'm going to gather all the people because God is calling all of us to be united to Him. I want you to go and talk to those people that are angry with God. Those people who are hurting and need God's love, those people who don't know about God, let's try to bring the family together. Let's bring them into the precious blood, the cleansing water, like kind of like with the bathing. Let's bathe them with divine grace, baptism. Let's get them into the family. Let's come on, bring them home. Let's feed them with the goodness of the Eucharist. Let's give them the blessings when they're sick that they know somebody's going to take care of them. You got the anointing of the sick. Even when they may hurt themselves, let's give them the blessing of that sacrament of confession. So our Blessed Mother's pointing to the sacraments, which is pointing to Christ as she always does. And then when she points to Christ, Christ says, look, you're looking for happiness. You're looking to be fulfilled. You're looking to be fed even better than a Thanksgiving dinner. Let me point you to my son who feeds us with his flesh and blood, with his living word in scripture, and with all the graces necessary for you to find happiness in the church, in the sacraments, in the prayer life. So, Mary, Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity gives us a mother. Our mother then is the fullness of the church, who also is mother. And then when we can live as children of God, that's when we find our true identity. And when I can identify with our true identity, then we have peace, no conflict. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, I love that. And the fact that Jesus received his body from Mary, which means he received his heart from her.
Yes,
In a sense,
yes.
because he's the word that became flesh. So as the second person of the Trinity, he's always existed, but he didn't have a body until that body was formed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So and it says he got his heart from her. So
Yes.
that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Dang, I love our faith, I tell you. Well, I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking with my good friend, Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony. He's a deacon in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. And we're talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Divine Mercy as well. We'd love to hear from you today. Send us an email, beacon at EWTN.com. Now, you talked about, let's talk a little bit about the background of the Sacred Heart. You talked about St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, right?
Yes, yes.
She's the kind of the one that popularized this Sacred Heart devotion. And so many people are looking for different ways to engage their faith.
Yes.
We have the rosary, we have adoration, we have novenas, we have all kinds of ways, different charisms. So you
Yes,
may be an
yes.
oblate, like a Benedictine oblate or a third order Dominican or Franciscan or something, and that's kind of your spirituality. So tell us about this Sacred Heart, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and this devotion to the Sacred Heart, and a little bit of that background so people can maybe have a deeper appreciation of this beautiful devotion.
I mean, it is beautiful and it lines up. And this is one of the things I like to point out. With this devotion, it's unpacking what God has given us in Revelation, as well as even in our liturgy. If you go to the morning prayer for the Liturgy of the Hours, they have antiphons that are there for each of the starts. And one of the antiphons, and I love this, antiphon three in the morning prayer of our Sacred Heart, it says, "My son, give me your heart. Note carefully the way I point out to you." These devotions to the Sacred Heart, these are the ways that Jesus points out where he wants us to go, how we will find the joy that we're made for. And I like to, because I like to teach, I have a mnemonic to kind of help us to know these devotions. I call it Saint Fit, because the way that Jesus points us is to show us how to fulfill our calling as saints. We're fit to be saints by his grace. And so if you remember STFIT, you get the five devotions that our Lord revealed to Saint Margaret Mary. So the first one, the S, this is the solemnity of the Sacred Heart. The Lord said, "I want a solemnity in honor of my Sacred Heart." Why? And this is beautiful, because when you have something as a solemnity, it means it's the highest kind of celebration in Mass. Why would the Sacred Heart want to remind us in the form of the Mass about having hope, making reparation to a Sacred Heart? Well, let's go look at the Mass really quickly, and this is pretty amazing. During right before they consecrate the host, we have kind of a, they call it the Sursum Corda. The Lord says, the priest will say, "The Lord be with you." Then we respond, "And with your spirit." Then notice the next line. Every Mass we say this, "Lift up your hearts." We lift them up to the Lord. We're lifting, as you were talking about earlier with the psalm, we don't lift them up to trusting things in modernity, to the pop culture and all this other stuff. We must lift our hearts to the Lord. And then we respond. He says, the priest will say, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." We say, "It is right and just." The Sacred Heart says, "It is right for you to be in union with me. It is right for you to lift up your heart. It is right and in justice, not only to the God who loves us, but even to ourselves, to put our trust in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and his mercy, not just in things of the world that will leave us empty." So he says, "Establish this solemnity for me," which really is for us. Starts that. That was the last apparition in 1675 of June, right? Which is why June is the month of the Sacred Heart. But then you have the T. This is the Thursday night holy hour. Our Lord, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we see in Luke chapter 22, he says, "Look, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done." Then we notice it says an angel came and comforted him. Now, this is interesting because Jesus, he's the center of time because of the incarnation. He's outside of time as God. But because Jesus is the center of time, they call this kerotic time. That means when you're going from one point of a circle to another, You have to go through the center. Everything comes from Christ. So whether you're at 33 AD, whether you're at 2024, whether you're at 1054, all goes through Christ. So that means when our Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane and that angel came to comfort him, he was actually able to be comforted by our prayers because they go through him in the center. So our Lord said, I want for you to be able to comfort me during my time, and I'm thinking of you, think of me. So that's the Thursday night holy hour. Then we have the F, the first Fridays. There's nine of them, right? Why? A novena of love, right? This is a novena of love. So if you're looking to find the ways that God is trying to direct you and point you, that he's telling you to go, you think, okay, first Fridays. These nine first Fridays, our Lord promised, he said, if you do these nine first Fridays, you shall not die without knowing my love, that you will die with your sacraments. And then you actually make a pledge of love to the Sacred Heart. Then you have the I. So we have ST, it's a saint, then FI, the I. This is the image of the Sacred Heart. And we see this image, like I said, you come up here and you're looking at it. And you see how it says he's got all access. He opens up his heart. But notice that the image also, there's light shining through the heart because it is our guide. But then also the crown of thorns that's around the heart. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are tribulations in life. But notice the thorns, they don't crush the heart. Light actually shines through them. Because what happens is the love of God is infused in it. And when we can infuse the love of God into our sufferings, then we actually get sacrifice. And I love this. This is one of the things Fulton Sheen somewhat talks about this, but he says, suffering becomes is pain without love. Sacrifice is pain with love. But when you learn to turn your suffering into sacrifice, then you find the key for peace. The Sacred Heart image teaches us this lesson. He's saying, don't be afraid to turn suffering into sacrifice. And I'm even going to show you the way by doing it on the cross. And then finally, the T for the Saint Fit is the 33 visits devotion. And this is one of my favorites. Imagine if someone came up to you once and said, hey, Deacon, you're a great guy. Now, that would be great, probably bring a smile to your face. But what if they did it not once, not twice, but 33 times each day, week, or month? You might actually get a little pep in your step. You're like, oh, yeah, I know I'm a good guy, you know, right? But this is the same thing with our Lord. Our Lord said to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, it was meant for Fridays, but you can do it throughout the week and throughout the month just to make reparation because he died on the cross on Friday. But if you go in and you tell our Lord 33 times through a simple, you just stop into a church, visit the Blessed Sacrament, say, hey, I love you. Or, you know, you're going through a stressful day at work and say, all glory to God. You know, or as the some of the teenagers, you know, they see someone that they think looks cute or something. They're like, yes, blessed be the name of the Lord, right? I mean, but you're giving praise to God. You do that 33 times because your friends start to rub off on you. You'll realize you're getting, as Father Larry Richards says, I know he's, I love him. He's on EWTN. He says, you start to get the suntan, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N tan. And you start to look more like Christ because friendships unite hearts, which again is the whole point of the devotion to the Sacred Heart and Divine Mercy. 33 times for each year that the Lord walked on earth so that we can know he's walking with us, that our hearts, the two hearts, become one. God and man become one in the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, we're talking with Deacon Gerard Marie Anthony on Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and we're talking all about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He gave us a beautiful mnemonic, a wonderful way to remember this devotion to the Sacred Heart, Saint Fit, STFIT.
Yes.
This is something that you can bring to prayer or maybe share with someone that you love that's just trying to find a deeper way to connect their heart with God's heart. This beautiful devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So Deacon Anthony is a deacon in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, and has a great devotion to the Sacred Heart. So one of the things I love about the Sacred Heart of Jesus is how, you know, because there's some devotions that kind of like esoteric, you know, like are more in the head
mind.
Kind of devotion. But I love the Sacred Heart because it gets to the heart.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
yes.
The heart is what it's, well, for the Hebrews, the word is leb, and it means not just an organ that pumps blood through the body, but it's the seat of the will.
Yes.
So the heart
yes.
is the place where your desire for God lives inside of you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think the purer our hearts are, the more able to see God and connect with God.
Yes.
You know, at that deep level of ourselves.
And that's, I mean, you said it perfectly. That's one of the Beatitudes, you know. It's like, you know, but you can see, like, even looking at the organ, because it's not meant to just stay up here in the mind. It is meant to help guide our wills. And he uses this image, I think, of the human heart. It has four chambers, right? So I call the one that we were just talking about with the devotions, I call that the G chamber, you know, going to the devotions, right? But I think they're also in the other chambers, you get to see things that help to guide our wills as well. You know, first, I call it the encouragement chamber, right? This is where we have a double consolation, where when we're discouraged, that means our hearts are distanced from God. Right. But when we're encouraged, our hearts rest in God. We can make better decisions. And because we're guided not by just our own what we want to do, but we're guided by the divine light of God. Can you see that in the image of the Sacred Heart? So we want encouragement. God says, look, if you think life is bad, come to me, all you labor, and I will give you rest. Right. And that's actually the second antiphon in the Liturgy of the Hours. Encouragement. He's saying, be encouraged, not discouraged. But then also you have this chamber, which I call keep the antidote, not the ills. And when we talk about keeping the antidote is resting in the Lord's heart and his mercy. It's very easy in modernity to rest in the ills of life. And I would say these are things that disconnect us to truth, but also that actually damage our wills. And I think the Lord himself, one of them was Jansenism. And I think we have a current day of that, a current day image of that. In the Jansenists, just to give an example, this heresy was basically saying, look, we all are fallen, which is true. But this is where the heresy comes in. He says, you have to basically earn God's love. You have to be good in order for God to love you. And in the regular crucifix, you see God with his arms stretched out, ready in love to embrace us. And the Jansenist cross, there's one hand that's kind of nailed. Then the other one's pointing down in condemnation, saying like, look, shame on you. What's wrong with you? You're horrible. You're not good enough. But the Sacred Heart, for the Jansenist, he refutes this. He says, look, this is personally insulting to me, so I'm going to answer this personally. He says, look at my heart. You are good because you're made in my image. I will give you the grace to overcome everything. And I think a modern form of this actually is cancel culture, where you only see people for what's wrong with them. And that's what you try to have everything die by their light. So the Sacred Heart also helps us to keep the antidote, not the ills.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, man. So, Deacon Troy, how can people get a hold of you, find out more about the beautiful apostolates that you have, get your books and the other articles? How can people find you?
They can go to my website, jmjgerardmarie.com.
All right, jmjgerardmarie, all one word, .com. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so much looking forward to seeing you in a few months when I'm at your parish.
Yes, yes.
Yes. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentralewtn.com/radio. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.